This week on the Famicom Dojo podcast, cameos. Whether across publishers or just across titles, we take a look at what makes these crossover characters and in-jokes so entertaining. Future Retro looks at the recent past, and Pile of Shame spans a couple of generations. This week's episode will make you jump, jump. It's a crisscross reference from the 90s. Hello, Vink, fellow co-host of the Famicom Dojo podcast and video series.
Hi, Sean gives too much exposition course.
How's it going?
Oh, pretty good. What was that?
Well, you see, I think we might have some new listeners this week.
Really?
Yeah.
We have a podcast? Sorry.
Oh, no. That's a reference to a video we did.
So why might we have new listeners this week?
As you know, because you were there, we switched out with No Topic Required on April 1st as an April Fool's joke.
Oh, yes. I do remember that, and we geeked out about movies more so than we usually do.
Finally got to talk about Back to the Future explicitly rather than just make reference to it for 3 years.
Yeah, but I mean, we will continue to make casual references to the Back to the Future trilogy, which for those of you who are new to this podcast, the Back to the Future trilogy was a series of movies starring Michael J. Fox and Christopher Lloyd, and they are kind of required viewing before listening to this podcast, or you'll only get about 80% of what we say.
That's not true. That's 40%, 35% not true.
Okay.
But the other thing that happened was I was on The Reality Check, which is a Canadian podcast. So we have a bunch of new Canadian listeners. I guess some Americans too, and other people.
Hello, Canadians.
Yes.
We have a podcast. We're going to talk about video.
Canadian speaking English.
That's right. We have a shared language, more or less a shared culture, and shared radio waves.
They have a dish where they take French fries.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
They put cheese curds on it, and then they put gravy on it.
I've heard of this.
It's called like, is it poutine? Something like that.
Oh, who the heck knows? I'm sure it's French.
I don't know. That's either the food or like the Prime Minister of Russia. But, regardless of how it's pronounced or what it is,
it's delicious.
Any culture that can come up with a dish like that, okay by me. So,
too right.
Welcome, Canadians.
Yes. For those who don't know, Adam, who was part of the Top Required crew, is himself Canadian, hence, he was also on that show.
Wow.
So, there you go.
Gosh, you never know who's a Canadian.
Right?
Anyway,
so what do we do here? We talk about video games, of course, retro stuff.
Okay.
But you know, we also talk about contemporary things that lead into retro stuff, because isn't, you know, won't everything be retro eventually?
No. I don't know if I'll ever consider Halo retro. I mean, we had this discussion earlier.
Yes.
You were saying it was in 2001, which is, dear Lord,
13 years ago. Yeah.
And so
as of this
many
fall.
People, I've seen people refer to it as a retro game at this point. They're like, we're having retro game night. We're playing Halo. And I can't accept it.
Fair enough.
I don't know. I mean, not just Halo, not just first-person shooters, but like, but like anything from that like same period of time, like Final Fantasy X is not a retro game to me. Right.
Final Fantasy VII, though? Ooh, I don't know. Getting there.
No,
anything disc based, it feels like it's too new to be retro.
Maybe, but then again, I don't know.
CD?
What about Sega CD?
Oh, for sure. Oh, Sega's gone now, so anything that they do is retro.
Yeah, but that's the thing. I don't know where my distinction stops and ends because I kind of consider Dreamcast retro now, despite the fact that it was a contemporary to PlayStation 2, which I don't consider retro.
Right.
I think it's if GameStop has sold it within the last 5 years, it's not retro.
For our opinions on GameStop, please see earlier podcasts.
Hey, and if you're GameStop listening to this, it's okay. I've had good experiences with you too.
Yeah, well.
Okay.
We also ostensibly do a video series, so I've been told.
Well, hey, my face is almost healed, so
excellent.
We should be able. Now, of course, around the same time that my camera suffered horrible scarring in my face, but the face is healing, but the camera has not healed yet. I think I'm going to actually have to replace it.
Oh man,
my daughter dropped my video camera, so the I think it still possibly records, but there's no like display anymore, so I don't know what it's recording.
Right, it'd be a little hard to make things look nice.
So, listeners out there, if anyone has a video camera, you can let me borrow.
we'll figure something out. Don't worry about us. We got this.
Yeah, we got this.
And there's some stuff in the backlog we're finishing up that should possibly come out beforehand. So
there's a lot of footage we've already shot that just needs to be put together too.
Yeah. So. I just got back from OS Gaming Classic last week.
Oh man, I wanted to go so much. I heard so many good stories about it. It was pretty good, right? I mean, it was a pretty big event.
I mentioned how many games I bought, and I should have a video up by now. By the time this podcast comes out, there should be a video up.
How many games did you buy?
Of my haul, I don't know, like a dozen.
Like a dozen?
Yeah.
Ooh, big man. Do you know how many games I bought last week?
More than a dozen? A gamer's like, dozen.
Like, I don't know, like 150?
Oh, jeez. All right, yeah, I felt proud because it's less than 100 bucks.
You know what I call it when I buy a dozen games?
Tuesday.
Wow, you even picked the right day. Oh my gosh. I was going to say Tuesday.
Yeah. Oh, man. See? Simpatico.
Yeah, completely, which is a little strange considering we're on in like as different time zones as we could be.
Right.
Anyway.
Yeah. So speaking of cameos, you know, I was thinking a lot about Smash Brothers recently because we mentioned that last week as well. And we were kind of harshing on Nintendo's decision to release it on 3DS before the Wii U, but like the game itself, we didn't even talk about, I realized.
Oh yeah, I'm actually really looking forward to Smash Brothers.
I've been unpacking things, I found the earlier games, and I realized this is only the fourth Smash Brothers game that's been released.
Let's see, Smash.
Yeah, 64.
Brawl.
GameCube.
Why does it seem like there've been so many more?
I have no idea, but you know, maybe it's kind of a good thing that they have essentially one game for both handhelds and the console, because we don't want to start, you know, splitting it, getting Mario fatigue, right?
We'll talk more about that later.
But it's really cool how many non-Nintendo characters there are in this latest iteration, and they're all from different companies.
In this latest one? Wait, have there been more announced? All I can think of is Mega Man.
Hold on. Maybe I saw a mock-up and it confused me.
Oh, and Sonic 2.
So, I mean, so taking over the whole history, I guess, of the series, we've had Solid Snake from Konami.
Yes.
Sonic, of course, from Sega, and I guess he's in the new one, too?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Mega Man, you just mentioned, that's from Capcom.
Now, the rumor is we're getting Pac-Man.
Right, that's the rumor. That's what I've heard.
But, I mean, Namco is, like, co-developing it. So, I mean, what else is Namco going to put in there? Ooh, Wonder Momo! Momo in there,
right?
Wonder Momo has high kicking ability. No, totally. They should. Namco, Nintendo. I know you listen to me. Wonder Momo.
Yeah, you mentioned Wonder Momo on a previous podcast. Was it recently or was it?
I have no idea. But Wonder Momo. I've been playing a lot of Wonder Momo lately. It's really not very good, but Wonder Momo.
I think it was. I think it was because I remember like putting the show notes together and like trying to find a video for it. Because you described it so colorfully on the show, and then I saw the video, and it's just like you said. It's like people trying to like take pictures of her. Oh god, it's just awful.
It's they made a comic series, which is actually pretty good, and the anime is middling. But you know, they made an anime out of a series that had one game ever in it in the 80s. So that's
insane.
Wonder Momo, Nintendo, do it, Wonder Momo, and if you can, Wonder Momo and Zero Suit Samus, they can hold hands at some point in the game. Jeez. Could you do that for me, Nintendo?
Oh goodness.
Cause I mean I'm gonna buy it anyway, but if you do that, I'll buy it I'll super buy it.
you'll buy both copies.
I don't know if I'd go that far.
Oh.
Wait. Okay.
Okay.
Yes. Yes. If but
it's only 100. Well, I guess it's more in Japan, but in the
only
US,
if we're holding hands on the cover.
Oh. Okay.
Then I'll buy both.
But like, what is it about these cameos that makes us go, "That's so cool"? Like, people have wanted Sonic in this series for a long time.
Because when we were young, that's what we made in our notebooks.
Oh yeah.
I mean, like. The idea of mixing two things, two universes. I mean, that's the basis behind all most fan fiction as well. You know, it's right. Like,
who's going to win in a fight, Mario or Sonic? And then you have thousands and millions of matches to prove it.
And yeah, you can finally see. Although, I mean, okay, Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games. Okay, they have running events in that. And Sonic doesn't automatically win.
That's yeah.
What's up with that? Look at Mario. How could this guy outrun Sonic the Hedgehog? I mean, yep.
I mean, the last time Mega Man made a cameo in a video game, it was Street Fighter Cross Tekken, and people were mad.
Oh, it was overweight, like box art Mega Man, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was like a guy who like was cosplaying as the box art Mega Man. And people were so angry.
I think that's clever.
I thought it was hilarious, yeah, but you know, the people who thought that Capcom's been really treating Mega Man terribly were like, you know, not again, and now he's properly in a game finally.
That gave them some ammo. Okay, I gotta say, Capcom, I know you're listening to this, because when I started talking about Wonder Momo, Namco called you up on the phone and said, "You got to hear this." So
you know the new character you were looking for? Well, listen to this.
But Capcom, it's got to stop now. Okay, let Mega Man go. Let him go. You've just got him locked up in a little cage somewhere. Feeding him just enough of those like power pellets to keep him going, but just give him to Nintendo. Let Nintendo have Mega Man. Sell him if you have to, but just let it end.
Wouldn't it be great if Mighty No. 9 became a Mega Man game at the last minute?
I don't know. Maybe no, it wouldn't actually.
Okay.
Because then Capcom would have ownership of it, and like that's why Mighty No. 9 is Mighty No. 9, to kind of get away to own the franchise. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Because like if Capcom has control over Mighty No. 9, there might not be another Mighty No. 9.
Right. There might not be a first Mighty No. 9.
Well, exactly. And like no, Everyone thinks of it as another Mega Man game, despite, you know, legal whatever. But man, I would love for it to be. I would love for it to be a Mega Man game, because it looks like a true successor to the Mega Man series. But if it became a Mega Man game, it would probably then Capcom would screw it up somehow. they turn it into a first person shooter. I just
Mega Man Legends, we hardly knew ye.
Capcom can't be trusted with Mega Man anymore.
True.
And like the only people doing platformers well now, Nintendo, Ubisoft with the Rayman, I think.
I was gonna say what? Oh, that's right.
And indie devs.
Yes.
But like, who else is doing platformers at all? I can't think of anybody. I mean, Rare doesn't do them anymore.
Rare doesn't do anything anymore.
Oh, Microsoft. Yeah. I'm sure Capcom gave you a call after you and Namco were talking. If you're listening to this, let Rare go. I mean, just yeah. I know you paid a lot of money for them from Nintendo, but let them go. Let them make games again. Games where you collect things. Lots of things.
Oh God. So yeah. Are there any other games you can think of with neat cameos in them from other games?
Well, I can tell you. I mean, there's so many. I mean, it would be really hard, but I'll just tell you ones that surprised me.
Okay.
Surprised me. Probably just because mine are all gonna. Well, okay, one of them's not obscure. The others are really obscure.
Well, give me one to start, and I'll give you one of mine.
Okay. Did you play Skies of Arcadia?
Ah, geez. I feel really bad about this. No, no.
I wish I had a microphone that I was holding. I mean, right now I'm just using the computer microphone. I really wish I had an actual microphone so I could drop it right now and walk away.
Listen, I didn't get it because, you know, it's a Dreamcast game originally, right? Yeah. I didn't have a Dreamcast at the time it came out. And then I heard there was like a GameCube version coming out.
Yeah.
I was like, I'll wait for that. And then it came out, and I heard something about how like the VMU interface was in a certain way, but they didn't port that functionality over. They didn't like make the Game Boy Advance interface in the same way. And then I was like, well, I don't know now. And then I never bought it. Not even on the pile of shame. It's on the no pile.
Wow. It's a great game. It is a truly great game. It was made by Overworks, who also did Sakura Wars, and this game that I'll mention right now, which is my favorite PlayStation 3 game, Valkyria Chronicles.
Okay.
Wonderful, wonderful, like real time strategy war game. It's very hard to describe because there's not really any other game that uses a system like it. It's also one of the very few games that it's an RPG, but it's kind of real time, but it switches to even to like almost a first person mode. It's very hard to describe, but regardless, it's very fun. And one of the fun things about it is you can customize your team and you can upgrade individual members and things like that. And you can recruit. Okay. And one of the characters you can recruit is there's two characters, two of the main characters from Skies of Arcadia make cameos in there, and you can recruit them for your team. They don't play an integral part of the story, but it kind of depends how you organize your team. But I was so happy. I was so happy to see them make a comeback. But at the same time, it was like, hey, make another Skies of Arcadia game.
Who are these characters for those of us who haven't played the game at all?
Vice is a space pirate, and oh no, who is the girl? Oh, it's, you know what that tells me? It tells me it's time to play Skies of Arcadia again. Well, I'm off.
Well, it was a good show. Thanks for tuning in. Wait, I have some things to talk about still.
Well, but how can you be talking about anything if you haven't played Skies of Arcadia?
Fine. Have you played Shenmue?
Of course.
Okay. Shenmue is really...
What do I look like? I mean... Okay.
I included a link, or I embedded a video for the Sega Saturn version prototype of that game back when, you know, before the Dreamcast.
Yeah.
And I don't remember why anymore, but it's there. And it got me thinking about this game again. And there are arcade cabinets for other Sega games at the time, because it takes place in the 80s, the game does. So you have other AM2 games. I forget which ones, though.
Let's see. It was... I might be getting confused with Shenmue 2, because there's some in there, too.
That counts.
Okay, but you've got Space Harrier.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got Outrun.
Outrun, yeah.
I think it was Hang On.
Yeah, Hang On. I think that's right. So you could, like, in the game, go to an arcade and play the game, and you could play an emulated version of those arcade games.
What was also interesting is you could play it at your house, too.
Oh, I didn't know that.
But what was weird was this is an anachronism, because the system you can play it on in your house is actually a Sega Saturn. But a Sega Saturn wouldn't have been available in the 80s.
Right. So there are a lot of anachronisms like that. You can also go around to different gashapon dispensers and get like a little Sonic toy and stuff like that.
Yeah, or characters from Virtua Fighter, which is a game that was not released until way after, but...
So the game was filled with stuff like that, but if you were a Sega fan of any kind when that game came out, then it was this silly little gleeful thing that didn't have any impact on the story except, spoilers, you lose all your money at the beginning of Shenmue 2, and you can sell your collectibles to get some cash. It's very sad. But that's only if you can port the game from the game save from one to the other. And that's a whole other story.
Which is a bear. You know, I didn't. I knew there was a way, but I just started.
What happens when you don't have that stuff? Do you get some kind of default set of collectibles or what?
You have a little bit of, I don't remember. It was hard going at first, though, actually. The game really does want you to transfer that save file. obviously they want to sell the game, but I played, I'm sure you did too. You played the European version of 2, right?
Right.
I guess it probably is exactly like how it must have started for Xbox owners.
Right, but I didn't play that version.
Neither did I. You know, I should get that version, but I hear the dub is fairly terrible.
Oh, right. I forgot that it was subtitled. Yeah,
the Dreamcast is subtitled, yeah. But the Xbox version is dubbed, so.
Oh, geez. Yeah, I forgot how much I... The dub wasn't terrible on the original Dreamcast version, but it wasn't great.
Yeah, I know everybody points out the whole sailors thing, and yeah, okay. There were moments like that, but in general, I thought it was some of the better voice acting I had heard in the game up till that time. I mean, compared to what we have today, where we actually have, like, you know, like Kiefer Sutherland playing Snake, you know, but back then it was usually like janitor at Sony, you know? So, but I thought Ryu's father did a really good job in this stuff. Mm-hmm. And I thought Lan D was convincing as an evil guy. I don't know.
I forget her name, but whoever did, you know, the neglected Japanese girlfriend, just spot on performance.
Nozomi, yeah. what they did to train for that part was they got a Japanese girl and they neglected her for a while.
That's terrible.
That's how they got the cat's purrs too. They got a cat, they left it alone. I mean, this game cost a lot of money. It was really expensive to make those neglecting rooms.
Okay. So what's your next cameo?
Wait, Aika. That's the name of the character.
Aika.
It was Vice and Aika who were in Skies of Arcadia and in Valkyria Chronicles.
Oh, good grief.
I knew it would come to me way too late. Okay. So is it you or me? Oh, it's me now.
It's you.
Okay, now I really like the obscure ones. This is non-playable, but it's just so fun to see. The scientist, you know, the scientist from the robot gyro game, Gyromite?
Professor Hector.
Professor Hector, yeah. He was in Tetris DS.
Did I know that?
he's just running around like on the top of the stage or whatever, you know, making the second screen usable or useful. Huh. But like, yeah, he's running around, and I'm like, of all the things to bring back, but I mean, there were lots of cameos in that.
Okay.
They brought the Tetris DS. Yeah, they brought in a lot of Nintendo character things, and really fun. Did you ever play that?
I had a copy, I think, because some people I knew were playing it. I was going to a convention, and a lot of people I knew were going to have it.
Yeah.
But it's one of the games that I lost when I lost my DS. And
it's hard to replace now because they never really got a second print run because I guess they lost the rights or something. Because Tetris Holding Companies is very strict about. I don't know. So it's a pretty expensive game now, actually, to find. But I really liked it. They had the push mode. Or whatever, like for multiplayer. Anyway, he was in that. Okay, your turn.
This is one I found while trying to think of new ideas because I didn't feel like my list was long enough. But you know, Mighty Bomb Jack.
Yeah.
I guess he was in Tecmo Bowl.
What?
Yeah, there's like a halftime show, and like it's the Mighty Bomb Jack halftime show, and it's,
really,
there's a video here. I'll send it to you.
All right.
That's, I mean, I barely remember Tecmo Bowl, really, and I certainly wouldn't have gotten the reference at the time I played it.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'll watch that later, but yeah.
Okay.
Cool. Let's link that.
Yeah.
Mighty Bomb Jack's in Tecmo Bowl. I'm sorry. When you first said it, I thought he might have been one of the players, and I'm like,
no.
He's got an advantage. He can bomb the other players. All right. Speaking of bombs,
yes,
let's go into Saturn Bomberman, which has the playable character Bonk, PC Genjin.
What?
Yeah, he's playable. And there's a playable monkey as well. I don't know why. But yeah, Bonk is, because I guess they ran out of colors for Bombermans to be, you know, because you can play up to 8 players in that game.
Right.
Wait, no, sorry, up to 10 players in that game. Or was it 12? Gosh. I think it might be 12 because you can use two, like, I don't remember. All I remember is it gets crazy at that point. But yeah, they needed more characters, so one of the characters you can choose is Bonk.
Wow. All right.
And that's bonkers. Okay, go ahead.
All right. So Link's Awakening.
Okay.
There's a guy in like a house full of frogs.
Okay.
That's a cameo. And I had no idea until I saw.
I remember the house. Okay.
Yeah. You've seen Phil Bond's Totaka song videos, right?
Yes.
So that's the first time I heard about this. And I still haven't tracked down the game because it never came to America. But the Japanese title translates to for the frog the bell tolls. And I guess the character is one of the princes, one of the two titular princes from the game. So the connection there is that the whole play style and a lot of the music came for Link's Awakening came from this game.
Really?
Yeah, I'll send you another video link here.
I would like to play that game then.
There's a not that we condone this sort of thing. But there is a ROM with an English translation. Not a great one, mind you, but you take what you pay for, I guess.
Well, I will get the actual game in Japan, and I will patch it myself.
I think that's like one of the few games that Phil has not had for his video. Because I think the deal was that Totaka did the music for that game as well. And then the linkage there, aside from this character, is the Totaka's song itself, which I guess I should probably talk about a little bit since I brought it up. Ever play Mario Paint?
Of course.
Okay. You click on the O, it explodes, and then it plays this 19-note song. And yeah,
it's a little non-sequitur, actually.
Yeah, and it's the easiest one to find, but I guess like almost every game that this guy worked on, Kazumi Totaka, he embedded it And so Phil did like three videos about this. I don't want to go through every single one. Got a lot of bogus tips, but occasionally a good one came along, and he endeavored to videographify every single one he could come across.
I have seen his videos on this, and they are some of the best historian game type. It's what we should be making.
What is going on?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I really. But no, I mean, like when I feel like that video right there would have fit perfectly in what we do.
Right.
So, if you like Famicom Dojo, you should watch this video. And even if you don't like Famicom Dojo, this is a great video. Great video. Definitely. Actually, if you don't like Famicom Dojo, really, how have you made it this far into our podcast?
It's true. Morbid curiosity. Okay, what's your next one?
Okay, I'm gonna keep going more obscure. This is from. Have you ever played Fighting Vipers?
Did you give me a copy?
I might have. It's a Saturn title, and it's one of the it's one of the games that you can usually get for like, I don't know, a couple of bucks, because it was much like Virtua Fighter 2. It was really heavily produced, and it was pretty good fighter for the Saturn. But the original Japanese version was a lot different. Because it had a sponsorship from Pepsi. Both the arcade game and the home port. Huh. So like there's a character in the game who like wields a skateboard or whatever, and in the Japanese version, his skateboard like has the Pepsi logo on, and some of the billboards in the background have Pepsi logos because it was a cross promotion thing.
Huh.
And they took that all out in the American version, and sometimes really blatant, like they didn't replace it with anything. They just kind of grayed it out, so it just looks dumb.
Okay.
But they actually took out a complete character from the Japanese version.
Oh.
They took out Pepsi Man.
What?
Pepsi Man was in the mid 90s was a spokesperson for Pepsi in Japan. And he he looked like a Power Ranger basically with the Pepsi can colors, and he fought Thirst, but he was like Pepsi Man or something. He had his theme, and he was an unlockable in the Japanese version of Fighting Vipers.
Wow!
I forgot what the criteria was. It was either logging so many hours into the game or. I have a picture. I will send it. We can link it in the show notes because I unlocked him and I snapped a picture of it. So
okay.
Wow,
actual original research here.
Yes. But Pepsi Man is not a tremendously great character, but crazy and weird, and that's why I think like this happened a lot actually when games were localized. They had to take out things like that. So everybody should play import games.
Absolutely.
Because if you don't, you might be missing a Pepsi Man or something worse.
Well, I just thought of another one while we were talking.
Go for it.
Space Channel 5. You must know where I'm going with this one.
I know exactly where you're going with this.
I have not played enough of this game to have gotten there myself, but I've seen others
what?
Do it.
Not yeah. that far in.
I'm okay. sorry. Like, I try... And the timing gets weird, and I just get frustrated and stop.
Okay, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. So you get far enough, and you can rescue Space Michael, a.k.a. Michael Jackson.
Yes, and it is Michael Jackson's voice, too. Like, it's not like, man, we're going to put in a character called Space Michael, which will be a loving nod to Michael Jackson. No, it is Michael Jackson.
And unless anyone think I'm cheating with this reference because he's a real person, there was also, you know, Moonwalker. So that was on Genesis in the previous console generation. Cause this was a Dreamcast game we're talking about here. So maybe we could pretend that it's Space Michael is Moonwalker, Michael Jackson, and then call it a day.
did they ever resolve the issue of whether Michael Jackson composed the music to Sonic 3?
I don't even want to get into that.
No, I stopped following this a long time ago, but like around the time of his death, they were still like debating it. Because
I don't know.
Like if he did, it would have been like an uncredited thing, but there's like similarities between like the album he released post Sonic the Hedgehog 3 or whatever, and he was a known huge Sega nerd.
Right.
So yeah.
Man, I don't know.
If anybody knows, let us know.
I
can't imagine it's actually gonna come up later, but whatever. Let me know anyway.
I do know that they had a Michael Jackson zombie in Plants vs. Zombies because, you know, Thriller, but then he died and they patched him out of the game, I guess.
Yep, which, you know what? His death should have made it more appropriate. Wait, no. Oh, wow. God.
Next.
Okay, next one. Disk-Kun. You know Disk-Kun?
For sure.
The lumpy yellow mascot for the Famicom Disk System.
Yes.
He had a cameo in a Disk System game. He was in Smash Ping Pong in the title sequence. A ping pong ball gets launched and lands on his head and he says, ouch. He feigns being hurt. But in the, it was originally an MSX game, this one called Konami's Ping Pong.
Oh.
And in the MSX versions, the part that Disk-Kun was portraying was actually, the character from the penguin from, Antarctic Adventure.
Okay.
But they replaced his sprite with Disk-Kun in the Famicom Disk System version. Making it one of only two Disk System games that featured Disk-Kun in them. The other one is an RPG where you play as Disk-Kun.
Wow.
It was a really late release and really expensive, but I've never played it. So
I'm sure it's terrible.
Oh, most likely. I mean, but, you know, I like terrible things. All right, your next one.
I got a bunch of quickies. So if,
go for
if,
it.
If you, all of them are just some
Let's
of them.
Let's see.
Everyone knows about Toasty and Mortal Kombat, right?
Yep.
I guess it's Dan Forden, who's a sound engineer and just wanted a cameo in a game. So ta-da.
Good for him.
Referee Mario and Punch Out.
Oh, I was just gonna mention him. Yeah.
They were Famicom Disk System discs in Pikmin, the original one. And I had never seen one before I had played this game, I don't think. So that was my first exposure to what they'd actually look like. I didn't know what they were exactly, but they had Nintendo written on them. I was like, well, what's this? And then now it's like, now I know in hindsight. There are characters in the Zelda series who are supposed to be analogs to Mario and Luigi, and they all have different names every single time. And I'm sure I'm getting some of these confused because like there was a female character with a similar name, but like the purveyors of the Lon Lon Ranch typically are Mario and Luigi, typically.
Oh.
I think that's right.
Mm.
I mentioned Gone Home before. Although I didn't mention it during the segment, but it was one of my future retro games. Oh, maybe I did. There's a lot of references to Street Fighter.
Okay.
Being played in arcades because the game takes place in 1995, I think.
Yeah.
And so like the narrator of the story, which is your little sister through her diary, talks about going to the arcades, meeting people, and then like playing at home, and she plays on a Super NES. And you don't know this right away, but then you end up finding these cartridges. And there's like these fake games on them, but they're very much Super Nintendo cartridges because like everywhere there's hookups in the house, it's missing the console. So you never see a Super Nintendo, but you see the cartridges.
Interesting.
The Stanley Parable, and this is kind of a spoiler, there are levels that mimic or parody Minecraft and Portal.
Okay.
And explaining why would totally ruin it, but I know at least Portal was also written in the Source engine. I'm not sure about Minecraft, though. I wouldn't know.
No, they've got their own proprietary thing.
Well, it looked good either way. Sure. And then NBA Jam had as one of the famous non-NBA players, Bill Clinton, also from the 90s.
And some of the mascots and different versions had different cameos, but yeah,
true.
All kinds of weird things in there. Commander Keen in Doom.
Oh, right. Yeah, there's. I actually found that by going through the map editor.
Yeah.
So I don't think I actually played the game properly to find it, but.
Yeah. That's bizarre. Yeah.
And also, John Romero's head. I think.
John Romero's head. Yes.
That's Doom 2, though, I believe.
Yeah, Doom 2 or Final Doom. I don't remember which one.
Oh, good grief.
There's Zero Suit Samus in my fan fiction.
That's a whole rant. Like, I feel like, on one hand, I feel like we shouldn't be sexifying Samus. Because she was this badass space pirate, and then you get to the end and she takes off her helmet. It's like, oh my god, you're a girl. But you know, at the exact same time we had the Justin Bailey code. So
yep.
It's been happening for 30 years.
It has. And Samus Aran, if you're listening to this, just I do respect what you do. And I think someone needs to shoot those things that will kill us all.
Yes.
And your choices are important.
Do we have any other cameos?
I'm going to go with the Mars people.
What are the Mars people?
Well, I think it's a mistranslation of what should have been Martian. Okay. But one of the enemies in Metal Slug 3 was this kind of like squid-looking creature. Whatever, with a gun. Okay. Really funny. Good animation on the character sprite. And you shot it and it spewed like green gunk or whatever. But it was a pretty minor character in the game. You know, it was just a grunt, you know. But I don't know. Maybe they just liked how the sprite looked and figured they could animate it into a fighting character. But he was a hidden character in Capcom versus SNK, which is not to be confused with... He was a hidden character in in SNK versus Capcom, which is not to be confused with Capcom versus SNK.
Right.
SNK versus Capcom used the Neo Geo MVS and AES hardware, whereas Capcom versus SNK used the Dreamcast Naomi board.
All right. Comparative, I suppose, to the not yet released Tekken versus Street Fighter, which, who knows, that may never come out.
What? Tekken versus Street Fighter never came out?
Tekken Cross Street Fighter? I don't know. I mean, they did Street Fighter Cross Tekken for sure.
Oh, okay.
That was Capcom. I don't know if Namco ever made their half of that.
Well, I mean, if Namco was smart, they'd be making more Wonder Momo. Apparently, yeah, there is a Wonder Momo game being made right now by, and that's how we brought it into the last show, being made by WayForward.
That's right.
Yeah, but weird. I don't know. They're making it like a real game, so I don't know if it'll be any good.
That's assuming the first one was any good. Okay,
it's not okay.
On the future retro, I guess. Let's see how many others. For those who don't know, if you're just joining the show and you know who you are, these are games that, because everything will be retro eventually, as I said at the top of the show, but these are games that have a chance to be classics in the future, or in Vink's case, games that are classics that he's just never really played before.
And I discover things all the time. I think I've mentioned this game in the show a couple of times, but I'm going to mention it again because it's worth playing. The game is called Otaki. I hope I'm saying that right. Have you ever played or heard of Electroplankton?
Yes.
Which was a very limited release in America on the DS, but a full release in Japan.
Ooh,
it was basically music making. I don't know. Did you own it or did you?
No, I never owned a copy myself, unfortunately. Oh,
it was used in one of the E3 shows, I think, and they showed different, like, it was basically a music toy. Okay. I guess now it would make much more of like an eShop title, definitely.
Oh, for sure.
Because it was basically just like 10 different little music toys thrown together in a package, but it was a lot of fun. But the guy who made that before that, he made a really interesting disc system game, which used the FM synthesis sound very nicely, and it was a music-based shooter. It was like a rhythm shooter, and at the time, it was the first and very, very unique. I mean, now we've had games like Rez and I guess any of the Bit Trip series.
Yes, right.
But basically, it was a game where you shot enemies, and using different weapons would produce different tones. And you go through the levels. The level design was kind of a little bit boring, but like it was all about the music because it would build up as the level progressed. And that's something we should link a video to, actually, because it's very hard to actually describe it. But the thing is, I'd like to say that it led to the music games that are being made now, but really it was made, and then for 10 years there was nothing. But apparently in an interview, the guy who made Rez and Lou Mines, and oh gosh, what's his name? He works for Q Entertainment. Oh, I can't remember his name. But he said that Otaki was something he'd played, but not necessarily. I mean, I guess you got to be diplomatic and don't say, yeah, I kind of copied that, you know. but I mean, it you can definitely see where music games may have evolved from that. But yeah, it seemed like it came out and it was kind of ignored. But great game, and if you have the opportunity to play it, it's a lot of fun.
Okay.
Okay, how about you?
This is a game I haven't played for a while, but I really enjoyed it at the time, and I hope that people will start picking it up. Have you heard of Alan Wake?
I've heard a lot about it. Wasn't it a game that was like in development hell for a long time, or is that a sequel or something?
I'm not really sure. I know that there's one called American Nightmare, which is more of a reimagining of the original game and not really a sequel, to my knowledge. I haven't played it myself.
It's an Xbox 360 game?
Yeah, the original was, for sure.
Okay.
And I think that American Nightmare was a download only game because it was kind of quasi DLC. It's confusing.
Well, anyway.
But yeah, the original game is really interesting because you play a writer, and
that sounds interesting.
Listen. The whole intro scene is about
adverbs.
You're in this like nightmare trying to wake up kind of thing, and it's like these shadowy figures following you, and use your flashlight to sort of disperse the darkness kind of thing.
Okay.
And there's a lot of enemies you fight along the way trying to figure out what's going on. And so that's like the action portion of the game. You're like wandering through this town, and like that could easily be like north of Wisconsin, or you know, some remote locale in northern U.S. state somewhere.
Every street you see a billboard that says "See the Dells, Ride the Ducks."
It's like, sure. It's like Twin Peaks, or what's the other thing I'm thinking of? Like the guy goes on a retreat to like write his masterpiece.
Oh, Northern Exposure.
Northern Exposure. That's what I meant to say. And it's very much like that, but then things get a little hairy. Your wife goes missing and you're trying to find her, but at the same time, like, you're being followed by the shadowy figures. And then you find pages to a manuscript that you've written about the events that you're living through.
Ooh,
it's kind
like,
of a
like
mind
strange
trip
human fiction kind of.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not sure if the ending would satisfy some people, but I really enjoyed playing it. It was very compelling for some reason. But I never picked up the sequel.
The story sounds good, but what's the gameplay? Are we talking about like a third person action adventure game, or?
Yeah, so you just spend a lot of time doing some more adventure-y elements, and there's a lot of cutscenes. But
ooh, I like adventure-y elements. Is this a game Vink would like?
I hope so. You have your primary weapon's your flashlight. You could probably get away without shooting things if you had to, but you tend to you can get like a handgun or a shotgun to improve your ability to put down enemies that you may come across. But if you're if you're hunting for those pages, then you're definitely going to run across more than you would otherwise.
During the game, does anybody say, bring me blue pages?
If only. I don't recall if the game was conscious of that similarity or not.
Because the last game that I collected pages was definitely Myst, yeah.
Yes, that was a long time ago.
Is Myst retro now?
I think it has to be.
I guess Myst would be retro.
It has to be, because I can get it on my phone.
So. Well, what about the Atari Jaguar version of Myst?
I don't even know what to say to you right now.
Which had a cameo by the development team, by the Atari Jaguar development team. If you went up into a balcony, they were all there.
Well, that's
getting back to our cameos.
That's totally game breaking right there. There aren't supposed to be other people in that world.
Yeah, but I mean, the people who were working on the Atari Jaguar, were they real people?
The world may never know.
Okay, anyway. I'm sorry if anybody who worked on the Atari Jaguar is listening.
Because we only listen to our show.
And we'd like to talk.
Atari? We're sorry. Come back.
We miss you, Atari. We do. We actually, I miss Atari very, very much.
Moving on to Pile of Shame. And for those who are new to the show, again, these are games that we have purchased or began to play and have put down for weeks, months, years, decades, for one reason or another.
This does not mean these are bad games. On the contrary, most of them, especially the ones that I mention, are ones that are probably very good games, but for one reason or another, the shame that I am feeling is that I have not yet beat them.
This is to shame ourselves into playing them again, partly.
Yep. Yeah, and that's why we don't call it our pile of crap.
Exactly.
Which we could. We could add a third segment, because, man, have I played a lot of really bad games lately. But
oh, no.
I don't know. There's so many podcasts and shows and stuff that focus so much on the bad games. I don't know. I think I'd rather focus on the ones that I want to play.
Yeah, why even talk about them?
And I feel really bad about this, because previously I had personally recommended this one to you, but I will say that Super Luigi U is on my pile of shame now.
That's on mine too.
And it's not that it's a bad game. In fact, I think I enjoy from the bits that I played of it, I think I enjoy it more than the new Super Mario Brothers U. I think it's really cool, but it's just I'm Mario'd out right now.
I hear you.
I just because I didn't buy my Wii at launch like you did, so I've only had it for since this summer, and I got Luigi U, and I got New Super Mario Brothers U, and I got Mario 3D World, which I love, and it's too many in too short of a span. And I also picked up but haven't played the DS one, the new Super Mario Brothers 2. And I love Mario games. I adore Mario games. I think it's just too many in too short of a span. And I didn't pay a lot for the Luigi game, you know.
No one did.
Basically just DLC, but I will tell you one good thing that came of it, and I'm sure more good things will come of it when I explored after I've had a chance to like take a break from Mario for a bit. But if you put that game in your, this is maybe a spoiler. Okay, that was enough time for people to stop their tapes. Wow, who's listening to this on a tape? Okay. Anyway, If you put Super Luigi U in and you create a save file there, and then you play Super Mario 3D World, from the main menu you can select Luigi Brothers.
Really?
Which is basically the old 8-bit Mario Brothers game, but we just renamed Luigi Brothers and having Luigi as the main selectable character.
I should actually put that game in my Wii U.
You are able to unlock it also by beating, I don't know, some amount of challenge levels or something. I don't know, on the game. But you can play it without without having to unlock anything, you know.
Right.
If you have a save file from the others. I love it when games do that. There were a lot of games, early Sega games, that if you owned like a DS version of the game, a Game Boy Advance version of the game, and it was in your Game Boy Advance when you played the DS version, it would do something.
Oh, okay.
I always liked that kind of stuff, but man. But yeah, so that's mine. It's a great game, but I think if I can just like de-Mario my life for a little while. Who am I kidding? Smash is coming out and Mario Kart. Well, I mean, they're different styles of games.
But... Yeah, I don't play Mario and Smash Brothers anyway, so.
Yeah. I'm gonna be the Wii Fit trainer.
Oh, baby.
There's a cameo. There's a crazy cameo. I mean, it's not from another franchise, but what? Okay, what's your pile of shame?
This is an old one. It's a few generations ago now that I think about it.
It's going to be Pikmin again.
No. But it's about as old.
Okay.
Resident Evil 4. This is a long, sad story, so I'll make it as short as possible.
Okay. Normally, whenever you bring up a classic game that you haven't played, I get all uppity and mad that you haven't played it yet. But this one's on my pile of shame too.
Yes.
So go ahead. We might have the same reason.
Oh, so my first Resident Evil game was the GameCube remake of the first one.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I think Zero came out afterwards, but I never played it at all.
Yeah, Zero came out after.
But so 4 was like the first one I was like, all right, I'm going to be on board. I'm going to play a new Resident Evil game that no one else has played before, and it'll be glorious. And I rented it, I think, and I played it and I enjoyed it, but I got stuck at this part where you get captured and you have to break out. And then as you're breaking out, it was just really rough to get through because the controls are not much improved from the original yet. So well, I didn't play it for a while.
You never played the original, though. I mean,
the original, no.
At least in the GameCube version, you could do like a quick turnaround.
Yes, that's true. Whatever.
But like, I mean, the original, it was like your character was carved out of a bar of soap.
That's horrifying. So I was over at my sister's boyfriend's place. Well, they were both there. I don't just hang out with them for no reason. And he was playing the PS2 version, which had some additional content that wasn't on the GameCube version. Because this is one of the games that was supposed to be GameCube exclusive, right?
Yeah, it had exclusive content like Slowdown. And not being able to render the cutscenes.
Well, anyway.
Fanboy Wars. But yeah, it did. But that content came back in the Wii version.
Right, so that's where I'm going with this. So I didn't buy the GameCube version because I knew about this, and I was going to get a PS2 very soon, I think. So I was going to get that version, but then I found out there was going to be a Wii version.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, I'll wait for that because it's going to have all the same stuff. Plus have the remote aiming, which, so I did buy it and I did start playing it. And I was like, finally, it's been however many years since the game came out. I'm finally going to get through it. And, the remote aiming did make the game experience much better, but I still got stuck at the exact same spot and put it down and never picked it up again.
Yeah, my story is almost exactly the same, except I actually did buy the GameCube version as well.
Oh no.
Because I mean it was the next big thing, you know. So I picked up the GameCube version and I picked up the Wii U version. And I don't know.
You mean the Wii version?
What? Oh yeah, the Wii version. I'm so bad. I also have it on my cell phone, but that version is terrible.
That's hilarious. I think that this Wii version might be the first game that sort of inspired the whole Wii controls version of Nintendo games.
Maybe. I mean, there's nothing really unique about using, because all the launch first-person shooters for Wii U had pointer aim, but like it worked so well with the game, yeah. Although some people complain that it made it too easy, but since I'm so weak sauce to begin with, that's an advantage for me.
Yeah, I wasn't a fan of the controls, so I was like, this is anything to make it easier to get through, and it still wasn't enough for me, unfortunately.
But regardless, you know, you'll give it another shot at some point, I'm sure.
No pun intended. Who knows? I got plenty of newer games I still have to get through.
Yeah, but I mean that's the final Resident Evil game in my mind.
Oh dear. That's a whole other story.
Yeah, I know I should give 5 and 6 a chance, but games are going away that I don't know, and it scares me. Resident Evil 6, I just felt like Call of Resident Evil. I don't know. It was just... But anyway, my first Resident Evil game, Code Veronica on the Dreamcast. I mean, the first one that I owned. Right. I'd seen my friends play Resident Evil 2, which seemed amazing at the time. And I think I might have rented Resident Evil 2 on Nintendo 64, which blew me away that they had full motion video on a cartridge.
Right.
Although the game itself was still sloppy in Resident Evil 2, but I mean, a two disc game on one cartridge.
Right. And it didn't have even near the capacity of one disc.
Yeah. Not even, it had like the eighth of the capacity of one disc.
If even.
Just amazing. And it looked better. It looked better than the PlayStation version, which just absolutely floored me at the time. I mean, I don't think I even really played the game. I think I just watched the cutscenes and like, wow, this zombie who is currently devouring me looks pretty good for a cartridge-based game.
So I think that's all for this week then. I did want to mention to go listen to the Reality Check episode 293, I believe. And my segment was about blast processing, which I actually learned something because I wanted to make sure I got all my facts straight. And I learned that the chipset in the Genesis and Mega Drive was very similar to the Neo Geo.
Yeah.
I had not known that.
You can also use a Mega Drive controller on the Neo Geo.
Makes perfect sense. So listen to that. We'll explain if blast processing was real or not.
It was
kind of real. Not really real though. Mostly marketing hype. I just ruined it. Go listen to the segment anyway. It explains more about how that came about. But you should also watch our videos because we did one about the Genesis and Mega Drive as well.
Yeah,
a couple actually. But yeah, so you can leave a comment or watch those videos at our website, famicomdojo.tv. We have external notes we've been mentioning throughout this episode that you should go check out. We'll have ones for this one as well. And you can also leave a comment after perusing them. Pretty awesome, I think. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and
Stitcher.
Stitcher Radio. Yes, we are on Stitcher Radio. But also, of course, iTunes, where you can leave a review or just rate us. Every little bit helps. And sorry, Kurt.
Sorry, Kurt?
Yeah, he told me he hates it when people plug iTunes.
Oh, then let's not plug iTunes. Please leave us a popular, a positive comment on views. Wait,
oh, right.
What's views?
I have no idea.
Zune, that's the one that I'm, you know what? Wow, Microsoft, I can't even remember what your failed format is anymore.
Ouch.
I can't, man.
HD-DVD?
Yep, and what, the Kin, that was your failed smartphone.
The Kin, oh no.
Oh, Microsoft. And what was that other failed product? Recent. The Xbox One.
It's doing better than the Xbox 360, right?
Yeah.
How's that a failure?
Well, I mean, okay, it's not a failure, and it's probably profitable, but it's not going to win the console war.
Right.
But
the consoles are going to lose the console war at this point. But
it's going to beat the Wii U.
Well, what is?
But I mean, beating the Wii U is. I mean, come on.
Yep. Even a dead horse thinks that that's brutal.
Yeah, the dead horse is like, guys, leave the Wii U alone. Leave the Wii U alone!
All right. Until next time, the dojo is...
Tectonically holding hands with... Okay.
Famicom Dojo.
And we're out.